I know we're a couple seconds early, but I wanted to come up here before we get started and make a special welcome to our returning students and our incoming freshmen for our college and young adult program. We had several that were with us in our Bible class hour, and we have several more that I've been able to meet just in our worship hour. We are so glad that you're here. And some of you may be with your parents this morning, and we want your parents to know that we take very seriously our campus ministry here. We take very seriously the ministry that we do when your student comes to us for ETSU or Milligan or one of our other colleges in the area, that we realize that the importance of these next 4 years while they're here can really shape the Lord's church in wherever they end up. And so we're trying to plant seeds to help them be fruitful wherever they go. We want you to know, students, that we take that so seriously that we issue a deputization this time of year every year to all of our members. And if they see someone who looks like a college student, they will not let you leave. They may tackle you, they may wrestle you. So it's best that you just turn yourself in and say, I'm a college student, what do I need to know? We want to take you to lunch today. And so we'll have more information about that and some of the other things that, we do at the end during the announcements. But we just want you to say, we're glad you're here. You have a home here at Central. Members, if you see someone who looks like a college student and you're not sure, assume they are. And if you're wrong, you just made someone's day. So college student is never something that you can be offended by asking somebody, because if they're too young to be a college student, they're like, oh, wow, they think I'm a college student. And if they're too old, they're like, oh, wow, they think I'm a college student. So just assume they're a college student. Thank you so much, Randy. We'll start our worship.
Thank you, Brother Tim Haywood. Good morning, all. Again, to echo what he just said, welcome to you, all of you, whether you're visitors or whether you're regulars or whether you're online. We are proud to have you here. Before we start this morning's worship, I would like to read from the King James Version, Psalm 31, these select verses. Verses 23 through 24. O love the Lord, all you his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful, and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. And now, Brother Matt Mahaley will lead us in song. Brother Matt.
Oh. Thank you. Please be seated. Our next hymn will be hymn number 47. Before we go to the Lord in prayer, we'll be singing hymn number 778. 778.
Thank you.
go to our Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, holy, 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 you are. Father, as we come together here this Sunday, we thank you, Father, for the opportunity that we have together. We thank you, Father, for your Son, Jesus, through his blood, we have eternal fellowship and righteousness with you. We have access to this unity with you. Father, we ask that we do all things in a manner that's pleasing unto your sight. Help us all, Father, to focus on Tim and be with Tim as he presents the lesson. Help us to focus on our singing, to focus on serving you. Father God, we know that you have made us on purpose and for a purpose, Father. That's to glorify you, show your love to this world, and spread your word to all creation. Father, we thank you for the college students that are here, Father. We ask that you be with them in their studies and be with them on their walk with you. Be with the youth as well, Father. And let all of us, both young and old, come to follow you. Be with those that are persecuting in this world, Father, and be with those that are persecuted. Let those who are persecuting come to know you, Father, and change their heart. And those that are being persecuted, let them know rest and comfort and peace. Father, be with those that are hard of hearing and hard of hearts, Father. Prick their hearts and let them turn to you. Father, we love you and we know that you love us. Give us wisdom and direction and abide, and let us abide in you, Father. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Before we have the scripture reading in today's lesson, we'll be singing hymn number 626.
Christ.
Those that are attending the children's training class, now would be the time that you would exit the auditorium. This morning's scripture reading is from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16, it's the ESV. Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
Some of you may have gotten a little rain on you as you were coming in the building. If you came in at the right time, you were soaked by the time you got inside. But whether you were affected by the rain or not, I can confidently say we are soaked with God's blessings. Amen? We are soaked with God's blessings. He gives us so many good things over and over and over again. And he has allowed us to come together this day to worship together as a family in Christ. And what a blessing that is. What a privilege to be able to lift up our hearts to God and know that he's listening, that we can please him if we're worshiping him in spirit and truth. And I pray that's what all of us are doing today. We're so glad you're with us today. It's already been said, we're glad all of our visitors are with us. I have met a few already before coming in for worship, and others I saw sneaking in that I didn't get to know, so I want to meet you before you get away. So hopefully we'll be able to do that. If we can help you in any way while you're here, please let us know. We'll do all that we can. College students, we'd love to see you often. We're family here, and if you have needs, we'll try to help you any way we can. But it's just so good to have everybody with us today. And all of you that are worshiping with us online, thank you for being with us. Many are watching live, others will watch it later, but we're thankful that you are tuning in as well. Also invite you to come back and join us this evening at 6 o'clock. It was so effective last week when I said it was a mystery what I was gonna be preaching, because I couldn't remember it. I'm tempted to do that again. But I do remember it. It's going to be talking about sealed by the Spirit. Sealed by the Spirit. And I urge you to come back. Let's open the Bible again together this evening and find out what God's Word says on this very important subject of being sealed by the Spirit. But if you've got your Bible, let's get those open. Let's get ready to get into the Word of God. And I urge you to follow along in your Bible. You'll see the passages listed on the screen. And I'll try to give you a moment to get there before I begin reading it out loud. But let's make sure that everything we believe and practice is found in God's Word. So let's get into that lesson now. Now, first of all, if you ask me the greatest television show of all time, the clue is coming up as soon as the first screen comes up on the... There we go. And I know my wife, Joyce, right now is rolling her eyes as I say it's the best show ever made. But on this one particular episode, as some of you may remember, Jed decides he's going to enroll his nephew, Jethro, in a boys' school in Hollywood. And of course, you can imagine, those things are very exclusive, and Jethro is a big strapping man, and most of these boys in school are just small young fellas. And so he goes into the office, and they think, what are you doing here? And Jed said, well, I want to enroll my nephew in boys' school, And they just say, you don't understand, this school costs a lot of money. He says, well, ma'am, I've got millions of dollars in the bank. She says, I'm gonna call your bluff, and I'm gonna call Mr. Drysdale, who happens to be a good friend of mine, and I'm gonna show that you're just a fake. And she gets him on the phone. He says, that's my best customer. You better let his boy in school, or I'm gonna pull the lien on your school building. Anyway, she just thought, surely, he was not at all what he was. But he had the backing, he had the boldness to go in, and so Jethro got into boys' school, even though he was way taller than any of the other boys in the school. Well, the reason I mention that is because we often say, Philippians 4:13 is one of our favorite passages in the Bible. And I dare say, I would guess 60, 70% of you could say it without even looking at it. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Your translation may say through Christ who strengthens me. That's who it's talking about. But I wonder, do we believe that? Do we really believe that we can do all things through Christ? Because sometimes when it comes to it, we're a little hesitant. We're not bold like that would think, you know, that would make you think, I'm bold, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so today I want us to look at this idea of boldness, bold confidence. If you're a child of God, this is something that you can really sink your teeth into.
It can make a difference in your life. If you're not a child of God, the opportunity will be yours today. In fact, you could interrupt me right now and say, hey, I want to become a child of God right now. We'll stop everything so you can become a child of God. But this is such a blessing, and one that sometimes I think we don't recognize often enough. So let's look at this idea of bold confidence in the Word of God. Now, first of all, the concept is found often in the Bible. And when I give you these two or three examples, you'll say, well, yeah, I can think of other examples like that. Exactly. But let's begin by going to Numbers chapter 16 and verse 30. This is not as well known. Numbers chapter 16 and verse 30. And here we have a rebellion brewing. It's right there in the camp of Israel. A man named Korah, who is a relative of Moses, has gotten some other guys together, and they say, why does he get to call all the shots? Why is he the leader? I mean, we're just as good as he is. We're as smart as he is, and we don't like the things he's doing to us, so let's just kind of take over. And Moses hears about this. He calls them together. He says, what you're doing is a dangerous thing because God has commissioned me to do what I'm doing. And so here they are gathered in front of Moses. And I want you to hear what Moses says in Numbers 16 and verse 30. He says, but if, notice that word if. He doesn't know for sure. He's pretty sure, but sounds like there's a degree of uncertainty. If the Lord creates something new and the ground opens its mouth and swallows them up with all that belongs to them, and they go down alive into Sheol, then you shall know that these men have despised the Lord. You see what Moses is doing there? He's proposing a test. He's saying, if the Lord really has commissioned me, and if he so chooses, then let him open the ground underneath them, and they'll fall down into the earth, and then it will close back up over them. Now he says, if the Lord create a new thing, that says this kind of thing had never happened before. And if you're thinking, well, I've heard about sinkholes. That happens all the time. How often do those sinkholes immediately close back and cover themselves up just the way they were at the beginning? That doesn't happen. This would obviously be a test of God's will. And as it turned out, that's exactly what happened. But think about the boldness it took for Moses to propose that, because if it had not happened, what would have resulted? Well, they might have said, well, you're a fake, and we're going to take over. In fact, we're going to get rid of you right now. It could have been fatal for Moses if that test had not come about. But Moses had such confidence in God. He had seen the power of God many times in Egypt and many times along the way. And so Moses says, if the Lord will, he can do this. But let's move on to another example. This is found in 1 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 6. 1 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 6. This is about a man named Jonathan. I know you've heard about Jonathan. He was a dear friend of King David before David became king. He was the son of King Saul. And here's Jonathan showing his true colors. He and his armor bearer are scouting. They're out on their own. They know there's a Philistine army nearby. And they say, oh, up there, there's a garrison of Philistine soldiers. I don't know if they knew how many were up there, but they knew there were Philistines. They held the high ground. And that's always an advantage in warfare. But listen to what Jonathan says to his armor bearer in 1 Samuel 14 and verse 6. Jonathan said to the young man who carried his armor, come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing can hinder the Lord from saving by many or by few. The armor bearer may have been thinking, wait a minute, Jonathan, there's two of us. There could be a whole bunch of them, and they're up there on the high ground, and yet you're putting your faith in God. The Lord can save, whether by many or by few, Jonathan said. And that's exactly right, because although there were just the two of them, they wreaked havoc in that garrison, and it set the Philistines to a great disadvantage in the larger campaign they were in. So again, you see, there was bold confidence on the part of Jonathan. I know God can do this. And so he did what hardly anybody else would have ever thought about doing. And then the third example is one that I know you're familiar with. It's found in 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17, verse 37. And we're talking about David right now. He's a very young man, maybe a teenager still. He's been sent by his father to take bread and food to his brothers who are serving in the Israelite army. And the Israelite army is at an impasse. They're being stymied by a giant, a man named Goliath. Now, if you figure it, it's about 9 feet plus. This man is, he's a warrior, he's massive. He's not just tall, he's massive. And he's challenging the Israelite army. Send one man out to fight me, and if he wins, then the Philistines are your slaves. If I win, then you all are my slaves. And the Israelites were just terrified of him. Nobody was moving a muscle. It had been that way for quite some time. And so David arrives on the scene. He says, what's going on here? I'll take him on. And they bring him to King Saul. And King Saul says, what makes you think you can take on Goliath? And here's what David says in 1 Samuel 17, verse 37. David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, from the paw of the bear, will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. David had reason for that confidence. We don't know about these encounters other than this, but there have been some time when David took on a lion, he took on a bear all by himself, and he conquered them, and he gave credit to God. He said, God's the one who delivered me, and this Philistine, I can take him on, and I believe the Lord will deliver me from him as well. And we know how that turned out, of course. So again, we're talking about bold confidence. And it's all based on the same thing. If you look at Genesis chapter 18 and verse 14, and you don't need to turn there, it's just a brief statement there, but God had told Abraham his wife Sarah was going to have a child this time next year. Problem was, Sarah was 89 years old. And Sarah did what you and I might do if we heard something like that about an 89-year-old woman or man, and we would laugh. And God said, why is she laughing? And then he said in Genesis 18 and verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? That's the principle here. Is anything too hard for the Lord? It wasn't too hard in these cases we've looked at, where Moses said, let the Lord open the earth beneath this family and swallow them up. Or when Jonathan said, two of us can take on this garrison of Philistines. Or when David said, I can take on the giant. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Now, why are we talking about Old Testament examples? These were things that happened a long time ago. And yet we know there are passages in the Bible, like Romans 15 and 4 and others, that say whatever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we can have hope. And that's what we're saying now, is we can have the same bold confidence because we serve the same God. Let me read this passage in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, turn with me and let's look at that together. Ephesians 1, we're going to read verses 18 through 20. Now we're in the middle of a prayer that Paul is offering for the Ephesians. Listen to what it says in this section. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. And here's the one I want us to notice especially. This is what he wants us to know. What is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. So what does that say? It says that God has exceedingly great power that will work for us, with us, in us. But notice the condition. In you who believe. Do we believe it? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, but there's a lot of things I can't do, so please don't ask me. Where is our bold faith? Where is the boldness of our faith? Now, going back to Jed Clampett, You know, there was a time he would never have done what he did, walk into a fancy school and try to get his son in school where it would cost thousands, tens of thousands of dollars to send him to school. But now he had all of that money. He had confidence. Yeah, call the bank. That's all right. I know what I've got. Today, when we're challenged in our faith, do we say, well, I need to call the bank, see if God will really do what he said he'd do? Really? Do we believe? So let's talk now for the last little bit about the difference that bold confidence can make for Christians. I'm going to give you five examples. You could probably come up with five more or several more, but this will get us started thinking about the idea. What is the difference that it would make in my life if I had bold confidence in God? Number one, we can now have confidence to draw near to God. We can have confidence to draw near to God. Now, don't take that for granted. If you go back to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 21 in particular, you find the people of Israel being told, you know, God is going to come to Mount Sinai, and now he has come. And you remember the manifestations that are mentioned there. There was lightning, there was thunder, there was thick smoke. The mountain was rumbling and shaking, and the people were terrified. The people didn't want to get close. They said, Moses, you go and talk to God. We're afraid. We don't dare get close to God. And in a sense, they were right. They should have been afraid. But that's changed now. Now that Jesus Christ has come into our lives, now that he's opened up that veil of the temple, what's the difference? Well, go to Hebrews chapter 4 with me. Hebrews chapter 4, and let's begin reading in verse 14. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You see what that's saying? We can draw near to God. God wants us to be close to him. There was a time when that's just something people did not do, not unless God invited you to come close. But now, every one of us have that opportunity. Every one of us can come close to God and know that he's welcoming us. What a difference bold confidence will make. And that leads us into the second idea, and it's very similar, in fact. We can have confidence because of our faith in God to make requests of God. We can have confidence to make requests of God. Prayer may be the most underutilized gift God has given us. Prayer is something that a lot of people use only kind of like the emergency pool station you see there, pool in case of a fire. Well, most of the time, leave that alone. Just stay away from it. But when you really desperately need it, sure, use it then. But prayer is something that we can go to God with anytime. And what can we expect? I mean, is God going to pay any attention to us? Will God do anything for us? Listen to Romans 8. Verse 32, a passage that has really grown in my mind for appreciation what God is willing to do for us. Romans chapter 8 and verse 32, Paul said, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? He will graciously give us all things that are within his will, of course, and all things that are good for us. But don't look at God and say, well, God really doesn't want me to approach him. God's not going to give me much at all. You don't know God. Not the way he's presented in the Bible. You can have confidence to go into God's presence. You know, if it's looking for a set of keys. I remember a time when I couldn't find something, and I prayed, Lord, give me some help here. I really need this thing that I'm looking for. And very shortly after I found it, what a coincidence. No. I connect it with a prayer. I ask God for help. He gave me help. You see, it's trivial in some ways, but will God help me? Have confidence, have bold confidence to make those requests of God. Number three, here's another way that it will make a difference in our lives. We can have confidence in being generous in good works. We can have confidence in being generous in good works. Let's think about a farmer, for example. A farmer, most farmers that I know want to have a good year, a really good crop. So what does that mean in the springtime? It means being generous with sowing the seed. If you're very miserly about sowing seed, then that's kind of the kind of harvest you're going to reap, a very miserly harvest. And the idea is the same when we're doing good things that we hope will help boost the image of the kingdom, give glory to God. That's the reason we do good things, I hope. Not for personal glory, but to increase the knowledge of God in people around us. So let's look at this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 11. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 11, Paul's talking about an effort that was going on to raise funds, a fundraiser. And they were going to various congregations throughout the region, and they were trying to collect enough to take to the brethren in Judea because there was a famine coming. And Paul said, let's all be generous. Let's show them the good that we have in our hearts for them. And then he says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 11. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 11. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. What does that all say? Be bold in doing good for others. We've had some examples lately here at Central where we've called upon all of you to get involved and contribute and help load some backpacks for the Hispanic community and to get to needed school supplies for families in our area that don't have the means that we have. And many of you just were very generous. And that's the idea. He said, God will supply seed for the sower. If you show God, I'm willing to share with others. Are you going to be poor as a result? This says God will make sure you have what you need. Now, it's not an investment principle. It's not to say if I give the church, you know, $10, I'm going to get $100 back later this week. That's not the idea at all. But if in your heart you really want to help other people, you want to sow the seed, God will make sure you've got the seed to sow over and over and over again. So be bold, Christian, when you're doing good work. That's the difference bold confidence can make. Number four, we can talk about having confidence in sowing the seed of the word. Sowing the seed of the word. And here the idea is the Great Commission. We've all heard about it. Matthew chapter 28, Mark chapter 16. Jesus calls upon his followers to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go everywhere, make disciples, teaching them. And a lot of people will say, well, I just don't think I can do anything. I'm not very good at, you know, teaching. I'm not very good at trying to encourage people to believe and follow the Lord. Bold confidence will change all of that. In Luke chapter 8, verse 8, we have Luke's account of the parable of the sower. And again, listen to what happens with a seed when it's sown on good ground. And we've heard this many times, right? Luke chapter 8 and verse 8, some seed fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Are we hearing this? Now, the same seed had been sown in other places, and there was no harvest. When it was rocky ground, when it was ground that was hardened by passing traffic, when it was ground that was covered with briars and thorns, there wasn't much of a harvest, if any. But here's good ground, the same seed, the same sower, and look at the result, 100-fold. The power is in the seed, not in the sower. The power is in the seed, not in the sower. And so if I cast seed and nobody's listening, nobody's doing anything, well, you've hit some ground that's not very good. But keep on sowing, because who knows, the next cast of your hand and that seed is going to fall on very open, very good ground, and it will be 100-fold produce. What a difference bold confidence makes. And now I'm not putting as much focus on myself. I'm not saying, well, I just don't have the ability. I'm saying instead, God's word has the ability, and I'm going to keep on sowing it in season, out of season, and there are going to be people that will want to hear it. I'll get the word out there. And then we can have confidence as we approach judgment. That's the fifth difference that bold confidence will make. It will make a difference as we approach judgment. If you're asked a question, if you were to die this moment, would you be saved? And there's a lot of Christians. You know, if you're not a Christian, then you have reason to be concerned. And that's why we offer the invitation every time we meet. But if you're a Christian, you know, are you one of those that say, well, I hope I would be. I'm not really sure, but I really wish I could be. Bold confidence gives us that calmness. If we are in Christ, if we are in Christ, we can have that bold confidence. Here's what John says about it in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. And I expect there are many Christians here this morning that need to hear this again. 1 John 4, verses 16 and 17. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. What does that say? It says that if I am in Christ, if I'm doing my best, if I'm trying to be a person of love like God is love, if I'm trying to do the good works that Jesus did while he was on earth, no, I'm not perfect. I never will be perfect while I'm in the flesh, but I'm in Christ, and I therefore may have confidence for the day of judgment. I know that God's got me covered. And that's the peace that passes understanding. That's the calmness. Even as I see my life playing out, you know, it's getting closer to the end. That's all right. There's something far better on the other side. I'm ready for that. And then think also what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9. Now, you need to understand that in verse 8, he had talked about how he'd given up a lot of things to follow Jesus Christ, and he had. He was a rising star among the Jews, you might say. He was going to be a great rabbi one day, and he said, I gave all that up. But now listen to what he says in verse 8, verse 9 of Philippians chapter 3, that I may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Too often we put our confidence in our limited abilities. Now we've got to do our best. Let me say that again. We've got to do our best. But too often we say, well, my best is really not good enough. Amen. That's why Christ came to this world, gave himself as our atonement, and why now it's his righteousness that is applied to us. So can I be confident if I know that Christ's righteousness is now applied to me? Yes, absolutely. Because he was perfect. He did not break the law of Moses in any respect. His is a full and complete atonement for me. And so in all these ways, we can have confidence, and it will make a difference in the way that we live our Christian lives. So let's revisit that verse we started out with in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. In fact, why don't we just say it together? I can do all things through him who strengthens me. It's not hard to say. Sticks in the mind. But do we live as if we believe it? Do we draw near to God? I mean, really, really close to God, as close as possible. Do we make our requests of God? Are we generous in our good works for others, knowing that God will continue to supply our stock of seed? And are we sowing the seed of the kingdom? Do we feel calm as we think about the approaching judgment? The key is the power of God. Is anything too hard for the Lord? No, nothing is too hard for the Lord. Then if he gave us these assurances, why are we acting so fearfully? Now, if you're not a child of God this morning, there's reason for fear. But he came to take away that fear. And if you believe in Jesus as God's Son enough that you're going to turn away from sin and repent of it, if you're ready today to stand before this group and say, I believe Jesus is God's Son, and if today you're ready to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, you'll know that peace and you'll have that confidence because Christ is your Savior. And as Christians, are we living faithfully or do we need to repent of sin in any form? Do we need the prayers of others to help us do better? If we can help you in any way, please let us know as we stand and sing.
God's
Thank you.
Please be seated.
We're always happy to welcome new people into our family here at Central, and that's what we're doing this morning is we're going to welcome Pat and Jay Armantrout. Pat and Jay have been members of the Pleasant View Church of Christ. In fact, I think that's where Pat grew up, isn't it, in that congregation. They're here. Their daughter, April Roberts, has been worshiping with us for quite a while. Their grandkids are with us as well. And they're just ready to start being a part of our family. So we're thankful for them. Would you all raise your hand for just a minute there? So just Jay and Art. Jay and Pat. But we're glad to have you with us as well, Connor and Claire. But I want everybody to meet them, get to know them. I've known them a long time, and wonderful people, solid, and we're very thankful that they're here with us. I also had a message this morning from W.C. Osborne that he is scheduled for an outpatient diagnostic procedure tomorrow morning in Bristol, or tomorrow in Bristol, and he wanted us to pray for him. And that's what we're going to do in just a moment. We're going to pray for him that all will go well there. Also, Carrie Marchant is with us this morning. Carrie, raise your hand back there. She's back now from knee replacement surgery, and that's been kind of tough, but she's doing a lot better now. We're going to thank God for the help that he's given her. And I want to also offer a prayer for Jordan McCloy. Jordan is getting ready to leave the country. Is it this week you're leaving, Jordan? Raise your hand, Jordan, so people know who I'm talking about. Jordan is going to be a professional basketball player in Portugal. And he had a great college career, and now lots of hopeful things are on the horizon. We're going to pray that he has safe travel and that everything goes well for him over there. So, Jordan, you're going to be in our thoughts and prayers while you're away, and we're pulling for you. Pardon? Oh, Ray Oxendine, that's right. He's having a knee replacement surgery later this week. Is it Thursday? Okay, we want to pray for Ray as well. Thank you for reminding me, Ken. So let's try to keep all these in our minds. They're going to be in our daily focus, of course, but let's go to God right now on behalf of all of these. Our God and our Father in heaven, we do praise you, Lord. You are so great and wonderful. Your mercy toward us is wonderful and needed. Your love and your grace. And Father, we can never thank you enough for Jesus, our Savior. Help us to always be found in him, Father. And when we go astray, please send somebody to look for us and bring us back to the right way. Father, we thank you so much for the Armantrouts who are coming our way, for Pat and Jay, and for the lives they've lived in service to your kingdom and to their community. And Father, now that they'll be part of our Central family, we just are so thankful for them, Father. We pray that they will be received well and that together we'll shine a brighter light than we've ever shone before. But bless them, Father, as they become a part of our family. Father, we also want to pray on behalf of WC, who is facing a procedure tomorrow. We pray that that will go well, Father, and that everything will turn out well for that. We pray also on behalf of Ray, who is having surgery on later this week. We pray that that will go well, that he will have a quick recovery, and that he'll be back active again as he has been. We're so thankful that Carrie is doing much better, Father, and we pray that you'll continue to bless her in her recovery. And Father, please bless Jordan. Watch over him as he travels to another country. Give him safety. Watch over him as he settles into a new culture. And bless his career, Father, that he may do well and have many opportunities to show his abilities. Father, we know there's many others among us that have great needs. Please look down upon all of us and bless us in whatever those needs are. But Lord, you're just so good to us. We thank you and we love you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
As we prepare to receive the Lord's Supper, we'll be singing hymn number 695.
Oh, the
this time, if you do not have a communion set, if you will raise your hand, and we have men that will bring those to you. Just raise your hand, and they'll bring you the bread and the fruit of the vine. Go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians 11. I always like to read 1 Corinthians 11 to kind of prepare my mind and to think in a manner that Jesus would want me to think in taking the communion. And I'm thinking about the classes that Tim Haywood's been teaching on Ecclesiastes. It's been really good and uplifting for me. And kind of when you go through Ecclesiastes, sometimes in the middle, you kind of get bogged down and it's like, what are we doing here? It just seems disheartening because it seems like he comes up with some ideas of, well, are we doing this? Or can you achieve this? And everything just seems hevel. It's just hevel, which is it's fleeting. It doesn't matter. And Amanda in class today spoke some wisdom and said, like, a lot of people do look at Ecclesiastes and they're kind of disheartened by it. But it's not written that way, and it's a perspective that you have to have. And the author of Ecclesiastes finishes the book and tells you what the purpose is. And the purpose is you've got to live beyond this world, and you've got to live for God, fear God, and keep His commandments. And in doing that and having that perspective, you can then be calm and have that confidence that Tim is talking about, that God has everything under control, and all the injustices in this world, all the things that seem unfair, God will make right. And I just thank Amanda for that wisdom that she imparted on our class today, and Tim for teaching the class. I think I'm just really encouraged. So then I go to 1 Corinthians, and I think of the communion, and I think of us taking the communion. And I don't take the communion. I use that same perspective, and it's not a sad communion. I'm not here, and I'm sad because of this communion, but it's I am so encouraged by the communion that we get to have. And I have a confidence that I get to go to the throne of God because of this communion, just like what Tim was talking about. And we have that confidence because, not because anything that we did, because we will fail, but it's because we are connected with Christ. So let's read 1 Corinthians 11 before we take the Lord's Supper. Let's get our minds ready. So 1 Corinthians 11, starting in verse 23, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you drink this bread and as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Let's go to God in prayer. Wonderful Heavenly Father, we come to your throne. We come to speak to you, and we do it boldly, not because of anything great in and of ourselves, but it's because of the connection that we have. We have the blood that is cleansing us to be able to come of your Son, to be able to come to your throne to ask of things, to commune with you and to live with you. Lord, thank you for this remembrance that we're doing, the bread that we're about to take, and help us to take it in a manner worthy of you. Help us to get our minds right and have that right perspective of how this life is supposed to, it's not the end of things, but you have everything under control. And in the end, all injustices will be worked out, because you have this universe under control. Lord, thank you for giving us this blessing to be in communion with you, and this bread and what it represents. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us also bow for the cup now. Wonderful Heavenly Father, the covenant that you've given us, that's represented by this fruit of the vine, we thank you for that. And we are bold in our moves to even talk to you. We realize how awesome and majestic you are, And we just thank you so much for loving us and wanting a relationship with us, wanting us to be with you and sending your son to die on the cross for our sins, to put us in a covenant, in a relationship with you. Lord, be with us throughout our lives so that we can manifest that perspective, so that we can live our life in a way that glorifies you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. We are also, on the first day of the week, commanded to give as we feel we have been prospered. And in the New Testament, this new covenant, we are not told exactly what that amount is. And so we are told that to give as you feel prospered. And I don't know about you guys, but I feel very blessed. This congregation, our community, our families, God has blessed us. But more than those things, he has blessed us with a relationship with him. And all good things come from God, and we can't outgive God, and we can't earn anything. And he is just wanting us to have that right perspective so that we can live this life and mature in a manner that is pleasing to God. Let us go to God in prayer. Our wonderful Heavenly Father, you have blessed us with so much. A lot of it is physical, and we can count. A lot of it, though, we just don't even see, and the spiritual battles that you have for us, and the love that you have for us, so much so that you're willing to give your son to die on the cross for our sins, to be humiliated and to be tortured and to give up his life where he had done nothing wrong. Lord, help us to understand this and to understand that you are who all great blessings flow from, and help us to give with a generous heart, just like you did, and allow us to go throughout this week and throughout our lives to give freely, just like you did. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you bow with me again? Lord in heaven, thank you so much for being our Father. Thank you for loving us first and giving us the gift of your Son, the ultimate sacrifice. Father, we thank you for that measure of love that you as our Father would have for his earthly children. Help us all to be children who love you and cherish your instructions. Father, we ask that you watch over us and guide us, and help us to embrace your wisdom more fully. There have been many prayers this morning. Father, we prayerfully submit our request, whether spoken or unspoken, for your help for any of those that are suffering. Father, please forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Here are the announcements for today. Teachers and assistants are needed. Please sign up to teach a children's Bible class The fall quarter begins on Sunday, September the 7th. The list is on the announcements board. As you go out, turn to the right, there's the announcements board. The next cycle of visitation program will meet after Sunday morning worship today. Come through the line and pick up a visitation assignment of your choice and a snack. The next hour, God, the amazing creator, will be focusing on insects on October the 1st. Please see Catherine Albertson, and she can cast your bugs in resin, if you care to bring them in, I guess. But the deadline is Sunday, August 31st, to turn in your bugs. Please label the container with the student's name. More information is posted at the classroom classroom doors of the children. And a little tidbit information for you, 70% of the animal kingdom is insects. I know you needed to know that. The Digging Deep meeting for tomorrow, Monday, the 25th, is canceled. We will do an introduction for the new study on Wednesday, the 27th, at 5:30. We are not sure which room we will be in, so it will be announced closer to the date. Please sign up, provide meals for Tuesday night's 7:08 college devotionals. The sign-up sheet is on the message board outside the auditorium. The fifth Sunday youth-led service will be on the Sunday evening, August 31st. Please let Josh know if your son would like to participate. An all-church fellowship meal takes place Sunday, August 31st, after morning worship. Please be making plans to join us for another time of delicious food and heartwarming fellowship. TLC meeting Wednesday, August 27th, after evening service up front in the auditorium. Plan to attend, if possible, so we can finalize the plans. All are invited to Savannah T, who will be celebrating her first birthday at the church building on Saturday, August 30th, from 12 to 2 p.m. All members are welcome to join and help her celebrate her first trip around the sun. You have heard of prayers this morning about WC and also Ray and others. And so we would like for you to consider praying as you can and have the will to, and also check the daily focus. Please check the daily focus in the bulletin. Lots of opportunities for us to pray there and be mindful of our brethren and beyond. Now, Tim Haywood.
Just want to once again extend a welcome to all our college students. We have a lot of things going on this week and a lot of things going on this semester. Today, we are eating lunch together at the Mellow Mushroom. If you get on Oakland and take a right, you will eventually see Mellow Mushroom. They've got part of their dining room already blocked off just for us. There's already appetizers that are in the oven right now as we speak. So if you're hungry, you can go get some. You do not have to pay a penny to eat that, but I am going to ask members of the congregation, you know what's coming next, because some of you have already given me those $5, $10, $20 handshakes, and I'll be accepting those out the door to help fund the lunch today. College students, if you brought your families with you, if you brought siblings with you, bring them on. That's fine. We'd love to have them. And let me make sure to say this, too. It's not just college students. Young adults, you're welcome to come join us, too. Professional basketball players, you're welcome to come join us, too. Anyone who feels like they're in that area. So family here at Central, you've been deputized. If you see someone who looks like a college student, you don't let them leave until they guarantee you that they are going to eat lunch. If you think they're a college student and they're not, you will have just made their day. The rest of this week, and I'll go quick, Tuesday night, we meet here at 6 o'clock for dinner and a devotional for our college and young adult group. Family at Central, I noticed on the sign-up sheet a lot of you have signed up, but no one signed up for Tuesday night. That would be a shame if we did not get to eat after I just promised them a meal. So someone grab that. Wednesday night, we have Bible class here at Central. And Thursday night, we're going to play putt-putt. And you're invited to come do that. If you don't have my number, if you're not part of our group me or the messaging system that we use to tell you about these things, make sure you come to me and give me your phone number, or that person who wrestles you down before you leave, give them your phone number and they'll get it to me. You are dismissed. Have a wonderful day.